Teaching Your Kids to Think and Solve Problems, written by Harry T. Roman, narrated by Kat Lukabaugh. Introduction. Learning is not something you just do in school or leave to your children's teachers. The best and most lasting learning moments often come from parents. So, why not take an active interest in helping your children solve problems? Throughout my more than 45 years as an engineer, I have had the pleasure of working with many schools to bring the fun of engineering, invention, technology, and creativity into the everyday classroom. Many times, these activities involve talking to the parents of highly interested children who are coming into their own in science and technology. My advice to parents is the same I will give to you in this book. Challenge your children with fun and practical real-world problems they will probably encounter in their adult lives. Such exercises are likely to decrease the fear of problem-solving, put them in your shoes, demonstrate to them how adults solve problems, promote familiarity with problem-solving, build confidence and self-esteem, illustrate how math is used every day and will be used everywhere in their adult lives, and help organize their logical thinking skills. This audiobook contains a variety of activities I have discussed in my classroom visits or have written about in various articles and papers I have published along the way. I hope you find this a useful compendium. Parents and families are the first and most important teachers. If families teach a love of learning, it can make all the difference in the world to our children. Richard W. Riley, former U.S. Secretary of Education. Solving home improvement problems. Here are some activities to pay off in your children's future thinking and problem-solving philosophies. Take a look around the house for home improvement ideas where you can harness your children's creativity and help them appreciate the fun and power of problem solving. Some possible ideas include painting, wallpapering, and redesigning a child's room. Painting. As you get ready to repaint rooms, consider engaging your children's creative input in these natural ways. What colors would be ideal for the room? What about trim and accent colors? Should all four walls be the same color? Should two wall colors be used? Is the ceiling going to be white or another color? Take the opportunity to teach them about the color wheel and contrasting colors. Use the internet to look at decorating ideas for the kind of room being considered for repainting. Are certain colors best for certain rooms? How much paint will be needed? How do you know how much paint to buy? Some very useful math is involved here. A can of paint will generally cover 300 to 400 square feet of surface area. So how can you figure out the surface areas to be covered? And how many cans will you need? Do you want to apply one coat of paint or two? Encourage your children to learn a little bit about paint by using the internet to see what kinds of paints are available and how the quality has developed over the decades. Was water-based paint always available? When and why did it become more widely used than oil-based paints for indoor painting? How about outdoor house painting changes over the years and why? Plan an outing to the local paint or home supply store to see the many different paints and colors that can be used in today's home. Read the paint can labels. Talk about what they mean and the importance of following directions. Walk down the aisle and look at the many different tools, brushes, and appliances that make painting possible. And of course, if you have selected a paint color, let your child see how the paint is mixed using a color formula that the paint specialist instructs a computer to make automatically. Think about buying your children their own brushes and let them join the fun when the room gets painted. They can learn how to spread paper or old cloth on the floor to prevent drips from staining the floor and furniture. Afterwards, let them clean their brushes so they can be used again. Most importantly, don't shy away from letting your children use their hands. The hands are a tremendous tool for learning, More than 50% of the human brain's frontal lobe's capacity is dedicated to using the hands. Let them learn through their head and hands. It is how the human form was meant to be used. STEM education in school today is a head and hands venue. Most of the activities in this volume will have a STEM component. STEM jobs pay very well because they are predicated on problem solving, which most employers want to see in their employees. Wallpapering. Like painting, wallpapering is another related activity where your children can be involved to engage their creativity. What design pattern would they choose? What contrasting paints might they use to accent the paper? Which type of paper is best for the room being redecorated? How much paper will be needed? Some math again. How many rolls of paper should be purchased? More math. How much is all this going to cost? Even more math. Why must walls be cleaned and prepared for the paper? What kind of glue or wallpaper paste will be needed? Another trip to the supply store is in order to look over the wide array of products and designs available. Take the time to look around the store, do some internet searches about the history of wallpaper, and of course, involve the kids in the project as it gets underway. Get that valuable head and hand stuff working together. Redesigning a child's room. Of course, you could be very daring and let your children redesign their own rooms, weaving together what they learned from helping with other rooms in the house. Challenge them to build a diorama of what the room might look like, using a small shoebox as a paper model of the room, painted and decorated the way they envision, and picking the colors and wallpaper to suit. Three-dimensional modeling is valuable for children to visualize what they want to create. It is important later for such STEM fields as engineering, architecture, structural engineering, and related activities. Again, engage head and hands, and allow both to accomplish building a physical model that helps to develop, explain, and embellish ideas. You can also ask your children to price out the costs for suggested redecorations to provide valuable future workplace experience regarding planning and organizing a project before beginning it. Such skills are highly prized in the workplace. Project management is a well-paid and respected job function in most industries, and it is quite an appropriate skill for them to learn early in life for present and future application. Backyard creativity. Redesigning a backyard. So how would you like to see what your kids can do in your home's backyard? Are there formal areas devoted to favorite family sports and activities? Or would there be several themes combined into one general area? Start by having the children measure the yard for the available area that could be devoted to play and recreational activities. A plot plan of the yard showing the house, the available play areas, location of fences, and any storage sheds or other obstacles in a basic way to begin organizing and planning this project. How close will neighbors be to this proposed play area? Could noise and proximity pose problems? Once they have the area measured and mapped, ask the kids to determine if certain games or sports should be ruled out for lack of space to play. This question will involve them in researching the amount of space necessary to effectively play certain games and activities. Where could they go to learn how others have transformed their yards into family fun areas? Books? The internet, TV shows, local libraries, other sources. What are the key concerns with renovating a backyard as a place to play family games? What games do the majority of family members prefer to play? Challenge your kids to develop a cost estimate for this project. Perhaps a pool. Maybe your family has discussed the possibility of a swimming pool for the backyard. Well, this topic sounds ideal for your children's review. What kind of pool might be possible, in-ground or above ground? What other amenities would be possible? Surrounding deck, concrete patio, grass? Would there be a diving area? Outdoor evening lighting? Location of pump and accessories? A place to change or a cabana? Fence around the pool, barbecue and eating area, a pool heater? What about a pool cover for the evening? Who cleans the pool and maintains it? Are there special permits needed from the city or regulations to follow? Can the necessary materials and machines be gotten into the yard? How does this impact mom and dad's home insurance and taxes? How is the pool filled and emptied? Other concerns? Surely your children can consult plenty of internet and other resources to learn about the many different kinds of pools that your yard could accommodate. I can see the kids making lots of pictures, drawings, diagrams, and sketches that portray ideas for all the family members to look over and discuss. Consider a trip to a local pool company for a great way to get some ideas. How much do they think the pool project might cost? This project is exactly the kind people could be involved with on the job. They may be charged with planning and organizing a new company structure for a special purpose. Giving your children the opportunity to tackle something like a new swimming pool is very similar to the real world of work. And company managers like employees who can think through, plan, and organize a project. Landscaping and gardening. Perhaps your family is thinking about landscaping your backyard. You can make this design challenge a good one for your children to think about and also help them prepare for a world of problems that will need to be solved. Allow plenty of room to let ideas germinate, no pun intended. What kind of garden layout would your children want to show in diagrams and pictures? Flowers and shrubs? Vegetables? Mixtures of types? Native plants and local plants? Flat landscaping or multiple levels? Decorative rocks or stone, brick, or wood elements? Small trees? Walkways? Shading with plants or trees? What about a watering system? And perhaps evening lighting? Would there be areas for sitting and relaxing? What might this entire project cost? Involve your children in all aspects of backyard projects and let them get passionate about how they solve these problems. Companies create teams to solve problems, situations that all team members can identify with. Help your children visualize and understand how such projects have many components that must be considered. In this way, you will teach them to break large problems down into more manageable, smaller ones, so the whole problem does not seem so daunting. A learning strategy. As you contemplate these activities and perhaps some additional scenarios of your own design, keep these important themes in mind. Teach your children to ask questions about what they are doing. Questions open doors into creative thinking. Open-ended situations, like the ones discussed in this audiobook, invite questions and spur creativity. Empower them to fail. Give your children permission to iterate their solutions, taking full advantage of the give and take of unstructured problem solving. Let them know it's okay to revisit initial assumptions, make modifications, and redirect their thinking. The work world doesn't have answers in the backs of the books. The important thing about failure is learning from it. Challenge your kids to use math in their activities. Always have them quantify things, like how long will that garden path be? How much dirt and soil will be needed? How many lights will be needed around the pool? What will be the cost for painting the bedroom? Numbers tell the story and provide terrific perspectives to problem solving, and the business world rewards those who can use numbers effectively. Many real-world problems must be solved multidimensionally. That is, a problem is often multifaceted. For instance, problems have issues related to technology, economy, environmental impacts, safety concerns, societal impacts, legal concerns, and regulatory compliance. The simple problems discussed in this book so far tend to be less complicated and more personal in nature. But don't be afraid to mix in some discussions about how you solve problems on the job and the multidimensionality of the solutions. Engineers, scientists, and inventors use lab notebooks to keep track of their thinking. why not challenge your children to do the same? This discipline is a powerful way to document their work, hone writing skills, keep track of new things learned, and review the progress of their plans and solutions. It also documents failure, from which they can derive new directions. As Thomas Edison said, fail your way to success. Invite your kids to recommend some problem-solving needs they see from their perspectives. Maybe they would like to add rooms to the house. Perhaps they envision finishing the attic or basement to add lots of bonus space to the home. Let their imaginations soar. Expand this challenge even further. Do they see problems around your town or city that should be addressed? Such situations would be great multidimensional problem-solving activities for your children. What about that troublesome traffic intersection in town? Can that old abandoned railroad line be used for another purpose? What can be done with the empty strip mall? The middle school needs to expand its capacity. How can the school accomplish such an expansion? Help your children understand that problem solving is all around them, that it's part of everyday life. When you want to teach children to think, you begin by treating them seriously when they are little, giving them responsibilities, talking to them candidly, providing privacy and solitude for them, and making them readers and thinkers of significant thoughts from the beginning. That's if you want to teach them to think. Bertrand Russell. Kitchen Fun. Often when I visit middle schools to talk about creativity and invention, I ask how many children like to cook or make things in the kitchen. Over the years, I have seen many more hands go up and wave enthusiastically. So, have your own children take part in solving some interesting gustatory-related situations. With the incredible popularity of cooking shows and the emergence of many well-known chefs and kitchen gurus, why not use your home's kitchen as a creative venue with your children? After all, a recipe is nothing more than a chemical formula, so do some fun chemistry. Relate the food ingredients to complex chemicals that produce delightful tastes when mixed and cooked properly. Let your children and budding chefs create some of their own delights. For your next party, inspire them to create some nibbles for guests to enjoy with wine and soft drinks. Start with a sampling group of foodstuffs such as olives, cheese spreads, crackers, cold cuts, pickles, celery, tomato slices, chopped onion, chopped bacon. See what your kids can create. Another useful thing to do is show them how to take a basic recipe for four people and enlarge it to work for a bigger group, say 6 to 10 guests. How many ingredients are needed? How much of each ingredient? And by the way, a quickie review of the measuring cups and math involved couldn't hurt either. Let them do the measuring, under your watchful eye, of course. Explain the difference between stoves and microwave ovens and how each has cooking advantages. Why not help your kids do a little internet research to understand how microwave ovens actually do work? Perhaps the same two foods can be cooked, one by conventional oven and one by microwave, to see if your children can discern the differences. Watch some cooking shows together as a family and discuss what the show hosts are doing and whether your child thinks the family would like the planned menu. Might they have some other ideas about how the food should be prepared? Does the food resemble something else they have tasted or helped prepare in the kitchen? Food preparation brings to mind another way to have fun and get those creative juices flowing. Have your children take a look at the history of the kitchen and the many inventors who created new cooking and culinary devices that have come down to us through the centuries. How could they improve the kitchen? What might be the next step after microwave ovens? Common everyday use culinary products are no different nor less valuable than microchips or other high-tech products. Look at what Tupperware has done to innovate in the kitchen environment. What about all those products made for holding foods that are cooked in microwave ovens? What might tomorrow's refrigerator look like? Vacation creativity. Here is a happy topic to spur some creativity. Let your inventive child plan a vacation for the family. Help break the vacation down into convenient, manageable chunks to oversee, such as 1. Destination. 2. Hotel or living accommodations. 3. Transportation there and back. 4. Things to see and do. And 5. Costs. This project will assist your child in organization and planning skills, so important in the adult world, and what it takes to make an enjoyable experience happen for the entire family. For instance, let's explore these 5 items in greater detail and list some of the major questions your child should be thinking about during the planning. 1. Destination. Will it be a winter, spring, summer, or fall vacation? Is it a popular family destination? Should we go off-season? Is it easy to get to? How long should we stay? What will the weather be like when we arrive there? 2. Hotel or living accommodations. Is there a hotel at the resort or destination? Are other hotel choices nearby? What are the rates to stay at these places? Do we qualify for any discounts at any of the hotels? 3. Transportation there and back. Do we have to fly? Can we drive there? Is there a train that goes there? If we go by car, could we take some side trips? 4. Things to do and see. What things can we see and do? Are there other things to do nearby? Side trips? Are any relatives nearby we could stop and visit? 5. Costs. What are the costs for the 4 preceding major areas? Where will the money come from? It's certainly going to be an eye-opener for your children to do the trip planning and organizing. They will come away from this exercise with at least a better understanding of how to think about the vacation problem. You might have them discuss this project several times with you to determine cost limits on how much the family can spend on a vacation. If it proves to be too big a project for your children, explore a smaller venue, perhaps a family day trip, and have them more generically plan that activity. Maybe the family can use the car to visit a national park, the beach, an amusement park, or relatives. Get out a map and help them understand how to read it. Try planning an additional route from home to the destination. As you drive, you can discuss how road signs show drivers how to get where they want to go. They can also track the family's progress along the route by referring to the map, making the whole activity fun and a learning opportunity too. Do not use internet mapping sites. Help them learn about maps, geography, and compass points. Some additional activities. Here are some additional interesting problems and creative activities for you to try with your children. Feel free to create your own ideas and explore them with your family. Stir up lots of discussion and ask questions as a way to prompt your children to participate interactively. Have fun! Explore science fiction. Science fiction is an excellent topic to excite young imaginations and stimulate creativity. It is the only genre that explores the ramifications of a technological advance as it bursts upon the scene and rumbles through time. Often given a less than enthusiastic welcome in the classroom, science fiction is a terrific way to integrate science, technology education, history, and English. What would happen if you woke up tomorrow morning to learn that life has been discovered on Mars? All forms of cancer have been cured, and people could live to 120. Animals have the same reasoning power that we do. How would all these things affect modern life and your life in particular? These scenarios should get the creative sparks going. Allow plenty of time for your children to think through these questions. Perhaps you can help them explore by having your children read some short science fiction stories beforehand from such genre grandmasters as Isaac Asimov, Arthur C. Clarke, or Robert A. Heinlein, whose books have remained in print for decades. What are your gifts? If there is one question I would ask young folks that stops them cold, it's, "So how many of you here in class have opened your gifts yet?" This provocative question is designed to make students ponder what they will use their skills and talents for, as well as identify in the first place just what those skills and talents are. Whenever I have asked this question, the teachers in the class have been surprised at the class response. It may have been the first time anyone ever asked the students such a question. Many at first have no idea what I am getting at, but there are generally a few who smile and understand. This exercise can be wonderfully introspective for your children to ponder. First, coming to grips with what they believe their gifts are, and then how they will use their gifts for doing good works. It requires young folks to think long and hard about who they are and what they imagine themselves becoming. Sometimes it is productive for students to discuss among themselves what they think their gifts are, as well as have friends and classmates tell each other what they think their gifts are. This perspective can be quite surprising, especially when friends and classmates perceive gifts in one another that each one never realized they possessed. People's gifts may be more than what they individually think they are. My career today is one of an author. But it took more than 36 years as an engineer first for me to realize that writing and explaining was a valuable gift I also possessed. And much of that realization came from others who recognized my writing and explaining skills. Let your child talk to family members, both immediate and extended, to see how others see them and their gifts. Invent a game. Challenge your children to invent a mathematical game for a grade level 2 years below them. I have used this challenge in many schools, and the kids always surprise me and the teachers. Give them free rein to conceive and develop ideas. Your children should be encouraged to first see what is out there in the world of games. Internet searches, visits to game stores, and reading the literature will disclose what has been done already or tried before. A really good exercise here is to pay close attention to how clearly the game instructions are prepared. After all, the game is only as useful to the players as the rules are clearly described. The game instructions should be written so a complete stranger can pick up the game, learn it, and enjoy how it is played. Then play their games a number of times to see how they all work, and certainly offer ideas for improvement. About the author. Harry T. Roman holds 12 U.S. patents, has received numerous engineering, invention, and teaching awards, and published more than 550 scientific papers, articles, monographs, and books. In 1999, the New Jersey Technology Education and Engineering Association named him a Distinguished Technology Educator. In 2005, the New Jersey Inventors Hall of Fame honored Roman with an Inventor of the Year Award for his application of mobile robots in hazardous work environments. In 1996, IEEE honored him with a Meritorious Achievement Award for developing continuing education products for IEEE members. Again, in 2006, IEEE honored Roman with an Outstanding Engineer Award. He has received IEEE's 250 Region 1 Excellence in Teaching Award. Every month, more than 250,000 educators read his feature articles appearing in various national publications. In PSE&G's R&D group, where he worked for 36 years, Roman directed and consulted on over $100 million worth of projects and programs and taught graduate-level R&D project management courses at the New Jersey Institute of Technology, NJIT. Throughout his engineering career, he worked with schools around the state, bringing the excitement of real-world problem-solving into the classroom. Retired since 2006, Roman has published more than 70 resource books, math card games, and science kits for teachers, products valued for their head-in-hands approach to teaching creativity, invention, STEM, engineering, and alternate energy topics in the classroom. Roman now spends many hours in the classroom, working with teachers and students in West Orange, Montclair, and Livingston, conducting special student project team challenges. He is an advisor and author to the Edison Innovation Foundation and docent and special lecturer at the Thomas Edison National Historical Park in West Orange. For the past 3 years, Roman has been teaching graduate school at Montclair State University in their teaching college, where he co-teaches a unique course about applying STEM techniques in the classroom. He also admits to writing and publishing poetry and short stories. This has been Teaching Your Kids to Think and Solve Problems, written by Harry T. Roman, narrated by Kat Lukabaugh.